May 25th, 2010.
I would have known. Okay.
That for the Italian trip? A headshot for the Italian trip?
Yeah. We left off a few weeks ago, a long time ago. We left off on, I think, a Mem Vav Amud Beis. About the third very wide line. There are narrow lines and wider lines and very wide lines. So I think on the third very wide line, the Mishnah is describing the whole Seder of the Kiyama Mitzvah of Egla Rufa. If you find the Mitzvah of Egla Rufa only applies in Eretz Yisrael, if you find a Jewish body murdered, if a person died from a heart attack, there's no mitzvah of Egla Rufa. He's a cholol. Cholol means that he was murdered. Lo noda mihikohu, we don't know who killed him. So you have to measure to the closest cities, and once you establish which city is the closest, you have to bring an Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is nishkin carbon. It's not a carbon, but it's also bahanoah. After you do the arifa, it's also bahanoah. Maybe even before you do the arifa, that's going to be the next discussion. The next mission on the bottom on Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. The Gemara says yes. Gemara Chulin, the Sugi Avroiv, says yes. You're not allowed to do an autopsy because Bizoyin Ameis, but if you think you'll be able to discover who the murderer is, then...
We'll find out if he was murdered.
Okay.
As compared to a natural.
Okay, yeah. If it's for the purpose of finding the murderer, possibly finding the murderer, so then we permit an autopsy, yeah? So the Mishnah keeps on quoting sections from the Pesukim and Chumash. So it says in the Chumash that the Zikne Ho'irahi have to gather together and have to wash their hands. Zikne Ho'ir, Rochtzim Isidehem, Al Ho'egelo Ha'arufa Banocho. So the Gemara says, Tanu Rabbanu, we have a Braisa. V'chol Zikne Ho'ir, Akrev Malaholo, Yuchatzu As Yedehem. The din was you only measure to a city if it has a bezin. So the Sheb Shmaitzer pointed out that there's a machlekes Rashi and the Rama, how much of a bezin? A bezin of 3 or a bezin of 23? But here the Pasuk says, V'chol Zikne Ho'ir. Whatever the number of rabbanim you need, the minimum number you need in order to measure to that city, either 3 or 23, that's a question. But the Sifrei says, even if you have 100 zikno here, as many rabbanim as there are in the city, rabbanim means that they have smicha. As many musmacham as there are in the city, b'chol zikno here, he, akrev malacholol, yirchatzu yosyedeh, malo'eglo ha'arufa ba'nochol. They have to wash their hands. What does it mean? Alho'eglo ha'arufa ba'nochol. It's what exactly is the Braisa driving at? It's very unclear. So I looked in the Malbim. This is a Braisa from the Sifrei. So I looked in the Malbim. It has a slightly different girsa in the Sifrei, not the way we have. Not Shein Tamilayim Ha'arufa. Shein Tamilayim Ha'arufa Banachal. Why does it repeat again by Nachal? So the Malbim explains, the Torah says they have to wash their hands, all the Rabbanim have to wash their hands on top of Degel Arufa. So let's say we did the Arifa, we went down to the valley. And let's say it's elderly Rabbanim, and it's hard for them to climb down in the valley. Is it okay if you take, after you did the Arifa Segli, chop off that, is it okay if you pick up all the pieces of the body of Degel Arufa and bring it to a different location? Let them wash their hands over there. So the Gemara says no. The Braisa says no. On the Kol Arifa Shaleglo, the location where they did the Arifa, that's where they should wash their hands on top of the Egla Rufa, in the same location where you did the Arifa. You shouldn't move it to a different location and just wash your hands on the Egla Harufa. They should wash their hands on the Egla Harufa Banachal, in the original place. And they have to recite the Pasuk, Yadena Lo Shavcha Sadam Azar, and Yadena Lo Ro. We are not responsible for the death of this man. We didn't kill him. We didn't shed the blood. And it's not our fault. So the Braisa has the comment that appears already in the Mishnah by us. The Chiyah Libeinu also, did anybody have a Havamina? Shebezin Shev Chidamim? someone thought that maybe the Bezdin killed the man who was murdered. That's a ridiculous statement that they should on him. And he asked them for an adover, and they didn't give him an adover. They see the man who was murdered, and they remember, yeah, he came to Schnorrer some money for food, or he came for food, and we didn't give him any food. So then they can't say Adena l'shavcha sadam azad. They can only say that pasuk if it's really true that they're not at all responsible for his death. We didn't send him away below mizaynus. If we sent him away without giving him a food, or below reinu, hinachnu below levia. Einena l'ro means we didn't see him going on his own on the highway, and we didn't bagleitin. We didn't see him at all. But if we did see him, and we didn't walk along with him, we were not malava him. There's a mitzvah to be malava a person in the city, out of the city, if he doesn't know the way. If the person knows the way, he knows how to get there, so there's no mitzvah levia. But if the fellow doesn't know, so it's a big mitzvah to help the person out, to show him the direction that he's supposed to go. So that's what the Bezdin means. That's what the kavana of the statement is. Yodena l'shavcha means we're not responsible for his death. We didn't refuse to give him an adarva. Ve'enein l'ro, we didn't see him going on the highway by himself. B'loi reinu, b'loi levia. Tanya ha'irab me'irai me'er, the Brisa speaks about the importance of levia, to be malab with someone, whether in the city or out of the city, to show him the way, he shouldn't get lost. Kaifin l'levia. You can, if a person doesn't want to be malab with someone else, the din is that you can be kaif for them. To be malab with the din is that you kaif in al adzdok. I think we started discussing last week. We discussed a little bit. The Gemara in the first parak in Bava Basra has a famous line. The Gemara says that one of the Rabbanim was giving tzedakah, but he was a wealthy man, so he wasn't giving kefi yicholtai. He wasn't giving as much as he should have. So the Gemara says that one of the other Rabbanim was kaifa him, he forced him to give more in accordance with how much he was earning. So Tosis there is bothered with Akasha. The Gemara has a discussion in Chulin, in parak Kol HaBasar. So the Gemara there talks about a person who was in violation of Kibbut Aviyim. He was mezuzah on Kibbut Aviyim. So the Gemara says, is it proper for the Bezdin to be koy for the person to be mekayim Kibbut Aviyim? Then is if a person refuses to sit in sukkah, a person refuses to shake a lulav, a person refuses to perform a mitzvah. If a person does aveiros, so there's nothing you can do unless he deserves an oinish, or the Bezdin will give malchus amisa. But if there was no hasra, so then you can't do anything. But if a person refuses to observe a mitzvah saseh, and it's still his man to do the mitzvah saseh, so then the Gemara says, Bez makam yonshin, Bezim will beat him up. It's makam yonshin, shalom min adin, lo hayro ashar lemegdam milsa, to force the person to observe the mitzvahs. Strictly speaking, we don't really believe in democracy. Democracy means freedom of religion. You can choose to be religious or not religious. The government in Eretz Yisrael is supposed to be a theocracy, supposed to be a religious government, and supposed to pressure the people to observe the mitzvah. Today it's not shaykh. So many Jews are not observant, so it's not shaykh to pressure anybody to do anything. But bizman she'Yisrael shurim al admosam, the way it's supposed to be, as Moshiach would come in. So if anyone, after Moshiach comes, anyone will have a yetzahara not to sit in sukkah, so the Bezdin will beat him up to pressure him to sit in sukkah. So the Gemara says, and what if a person is mezalzal on kibbut aviyim? Will the Bezdin force him to be mekayimet? The Gemara says no, because mitzvahs kibbut aviyim says in chumish and aseres adibus kabed asavich v'esimecha laman yarichon yamecha, that that's called matan schor betzida. Right next to the mitzvah, it says what the reward is, so the chachalim understand that promise itself of such a great reward should serve as the encouragement, that should serve as the impetus for me to observe the mitzvah. It's not necessary for the Bezdin to beat the guy up if he does want to keep the mitzvah. Whenever there's a mitzvah sesei, where the Torah promises a reward, so then Bezdin Shalmato is not kaifin. So Tosfos Frekt Akasha says in Chumash Pesach Tiptachas Yotcha, you should give tzedakah to the anim, because of the fact that you give tzedakah to the anim, you will be blessed. So every case of mitzvah tzedakah is really a mitzvah sesei shematan schor b'sida. How come Bezdin was kaifin? So this is Tosfos Kash. So Tosfos gives several suggestions. So that's what we probably mentioned last time, that the Keren Ora on this Gemara, Keren Ora on this Gemara gives an answer that the Shita Mekubetzes has also on Baba Basa the same answer, that the Bezdin is Koifer here, not so much for the mitzvah. Giving tzedakah, number one, is a mitzvah, but number two is considered like Shibudim. is if I owe it to you. Let's say I borrowed, the Gemara has such a discussion. Let's say I borrow $100,000 and I don't want to pay back the money. And then the Bezin says, Hayitochen is a mitzvah, Piyas Bachev is a mitzvah. I say, well, I'm not Orthodox. I don't keep mitzvahs. So what are you going to do? So the din is that you're kaifa ala mitzvahs. You're kaifa ala mitzvahs. So the Gemara says, but forget about kaifa ala mitzvahs. Even if the government in Eretz can't force anybody to do any mitzvahs, so many people are not Orthodox. So many people are not observant. But Bezdin is goyve. There's gviya. There's kaifin ala mitzvahs. Kefiya chaf pe yud yud hey. Lachuf. Lachuf means to force people to keep mitzvahs. Then there's another concept that's called gviya shibudim. If I owe you $100,000, you have a right to collect the money. Forget about mitzvah hein mitzvah mag, no mitzvah. Forget about priyas bachar mitzvah. Bezdin is goyve the money that I owe. So the Karen Ura claims that not only is that true by when you borrow money, it's true with respect to tzedakah. Tzedakah is considered, the Rambam writes like this in the Mor Nevuchim, tzedakah comes from the word tzedek. Tzedek means justice. Justice requires that I'm mechuyev to give to the poor. It's not 100% tzedek. Sof kol sof, it is charity, so we call it tzedakah. Like when I was a little boy, my father used to call me Her Shaleh. You add on a hay at the end when it's a small thing. And I grew up, so my father still called me Her Shalom. Okay, but usually you add on a hay at the end when it's a little thing. So the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim that tzedakah is a smaller form of tzedek. Strictly speaking, I don't owe him any money, but the Torah says I should consider it as if I'm an apotropos on the money. That's how the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says, when you give tzedakah to the anim, tein lo mishalo, you should give to the Rabbanu Shalom from his own money. You, with all of the money that you own, belong to the Rabbanu Shalom. Hanasham Alach, Vagub Shalach, we belong to the Rabbanu Shalom. All of our talents belong to the Rabbanu Shalom. And any money that we earn is Kol Mashik Kaneh, Bekaneh Rabba. Everything belongs to the Rabbanu Shalom. So we should really have the attitude when we're giving tzedakah, we're Gaboyim, we're Apotropsim on the Rabbanu Shalom's money. It's not that we're the Balabatim, we have the right to decide to give the money wherever we please. We're Gizborim on the moment of the Rabbanu Shalom. So the...
What's the source of this kafiyah? I mean, it seems to be so bechira. What's the kiyum if you're forced? I mean, you know, what if you have the mitzvah? I mean, you know, it's... what's the source of the whole concept?
It says in Shulchan Aruch that there's an inyan to go lifnim ishuras adin all the time. So it says, you're not kaifa on lifnim ishuras adin. I'm sure you're not kaifa. So the Velt says the reason why is because if a guy doesn't want to eat matzah and you beat him up till he eats it, finally eats a matzah, bottom line, he ate the matzah. He doesn't want to shake a lulav, he doesn't want to sit in the sukkah, beat him up till he sits in the sukkah, did the mitzvah. But if a guy doesn't want to do lifnim mishuras sadin, lifnim mishuras sadin means out of the goodness of my heart, I go in the right direction. So they're going to beat me up till I do it. Bottom line, it wasn't out of the goodness of my heart. So you won't be kai for me to do lifnim mishuras sadin because after I'll do it under duress, I won't have a kiyama mitzvah. But other mitzvahs under duress. I believe in God. I know that God gave a mitzvah to eat matzah. I just don't want to do it. I'm lazy or whatever. So once they beat me up and they forced me to, I knew it's a mitzvah and I knew I did a mitzvah. I just didn't want to do it. I was angry at the Rabbanu Shlolem or whatever. I was in a bad mood. So once they forced me to eat the matzah, to sit in the sukkah, to shake the lulav, I have the mitzvah. So here by tzedakah also, they're kaif ala tzedakah. So that's what the Karen Ura says over here. The kaifa zayin ala tzedakah is not a b'china of kaifa ala mitzvahs, because all the mitzvahs are gemilos chasadim are also elu dvarim shalom mechel perisem bo'elam azav akan kaimus lo the olam abo. All gemilos chasadim is ben adam l'chaver. All of them are matan schor b'tzido. All ben adam l'chaver is a matan schor b'tzido. We're promised schar if we're going to do it. The reason why the kaifa is because it's gvi hashibudim, that any mitzvah ben adam l'chaver is considered as if I'm mechuyev to do it for you. And that's how the Rambam writes in Mor Nevuchim. That's why we call it tzedakah. Tzedakah means a miniature form of tzedek, as if Yosher dictates, as if justice requires I have to give to the ani. So it's not exactly justice requires, but it's a smaller form. So that's the din of kaifin lelevia. And it's important to be kaifin lelevia because the reward that the fellow is going to get, the tolmi b'lav of someone else, is tremendous. Shechar halavio ain't lo shir. If you help the other person, the other guy's lost. Someone is lost. We had a Gemara in Sanhedrin. Mara said in Sahen, when a person is lost in a forest or lost in a jungle, so to help him find his way is a chelik of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. If a fellow loses a nickel, it's a mitzvah, a penny, it's a mitzvah to give him back Hashavas Aveda. Hashavas Mamonos, Hashavas Gufal Okolshkein. If the whole person is lost, he doesn't know which way to go. Or if a person is sick and the doctor heals him, so the Gemara considers that a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, Hashavas Gufo. So the Gemara says, Leviya is also an Inyan. The fellow doesn't know how to go. If he's a local, he knows the streets and he knows the highway. So there's no mitzvah of Leviya. If he doesn't know, then the Inyan is that he's lost. You should see to it that he shouldn't get lost. A lot of times you have signs on the streets, but it's still signs on the highway. He still can get lost very easily. The whole community should do, yeah. The Bezin should see to it that everyone fulfills all the mitzvahs, yeah. Everything. Love Dafke the Bezin.
So spiritual, right? You lost spiritually, not only physically?
Yeah, the Minchas Chinuch says that to be Mekarev Yidin, to Yiddishkeit, is a chelik of the mitzvah of Hashavas Gufo. So why do you have to have a mitzvah of Achech Tochech HaSamisecho? Why do you need a separate mitzvah if it's already included in Hashavas Aveda? So he says, because you have a din, that there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda if the guys are not Bikuris. Not Bikuris, they're not Mukhiv to do it like a Nochri. If the Nochri lost an Aveda, Geitin Shtan the mitzvah for Hashavas Aveda. So Yid is an Apikuris, is Zina Kinochri, so you're not Mukhiv to do Hashavas Aveda. So what do you do if a Yid is an Apikuris? So if there's no Hashavas Aveda, so you're not Mukhiv to give him back to himself, Hashavas Gufoi. So that's why you have to have Nocha mitzvah, Hachech, Tachech, Hashamisech, there's still a mitzvah. Even though he's a Shegetz, a Mechal Shabbos Befesi, and a Goy Gomer, it's still a mitzvah that you have to try to be Mekarev. But basically, it's rooted in the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda.
Putting up signs, Akima Brelevia.
Putting up signs? That what?
Street signs, but directional signs. Mikvah, mikvah.
Yeah, yeah, to have good street signs that people shouldn't get lost. That is the mitzvah of Levia, that's right. So that's where a mayor says, Sheschai Levia ain't lo shir. The reward for being beloved someone to prevent them from getting lost is gevaldik. Tremendous reward. Shenemar. How do you see? So the psukim in Shoftim are saying about the conquering of Eretz Yisrael. It says in Sefer Yehoshua that it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael in the Lamed Aleph Malachim. There were 31 kingdoms, 31 kings who had castles or had palaces in Eretz Yisrael because it's the connecting link between the three continents of Europe, Asia, and Africa. So everyone wanted to have an achiza in Eretz Yisrael. So it says in the Pesukim in Yeshua, it took 7 years till they conquered all of Eretz Yisrael. Then the Gemara says in Erechin, we have an oral tradition, not based on any Pesukim in Tanakh, that just like it took 7 years to conquer all of Eretz Yisrael in the 31 kings, it took 7 years till they divided all of Eretz Yisrael. But after the first 14 years, they didn't really finish conquering all of Eretz Yisrael. There was still location, there were still pockets. Till the days of David HaMelech, till they conquered the Yebusi B'Yerushalayim. So the Psukim in Shoftim in chapter Aleph describe people from this Shevet but conquering this city, people from that Shevet conquering another city. So it says,
like some relocated, like Dun.
Yeah.
Dun couldn't conquer Israel, he got north.
Yeah. So here it describes in Shoftim that the Jewish soldiers were trying to figure out how to enter into a city. The whole city had a wall around it, and they couldn't figure out how to penetrate the city. Ba'ir HaShomrim said they had guards, Jewish guards, waiting to try to figure out where is the entranceway to get into the city. Ba'ir HaShomrim ish yotzei min ha'ir. They saw someone coming out from the city, Anochri, leaving the city. Ba'yomer lo hareinu es mavoi ha'ir. Show us the entranceway into the city. V'yasinu imcho chesed. We will repay the kindness. They want to know the entrance to the city to conquer the city. They want to take over the whole city. The reason why no one could figure out the entranceway was for protection purposes, because they didn't want the Jews to conquer the city. So this guy, Vayari Emes Mevoi Ho'ir, he showed them the way to get into the city. Ma chesed asu imo, how did they repay his kindness? They promised him asinim cha chesed. So what is the chesed? So the Gemara explains, shekolos ho'ir ha'gul efichorev. This was one of the Zainumas. So the din is l'sachayik on the shama, achrim tachrim. So the Jewish army had to wipe out all the people in the city. But also Hish, and that man who showed him the entrance to the city, they promised they're going to repay his kindness, so they didn't kill him. Also Hish, mishpachto shilechu. The pasuk says that they let him go free and they didn't kill him, and he had children and great grandchildren and great grandchildren. At Saif Kaladiris, that because he showed them the way, it says Vayelach Ish Eretz Achitim, he moved away to a different. I don't know. They promised them for the purposes of the Muhammad, in order to win the war, they had to promise him a reward if he'll show them the way to get into the city. So it says, he built another city. The pasuk says that the name of this city used to be Luz. This city used to be Luz. So Rashi writes there on Shoftim, he's probably quoting a Medrash, that Luz is a type of a nut that grows on a tree. So Luz is a nut tree. This city had a fortification, had a wall around it, and the way to enter into the city was to walk into the nut tree. There was a crack in the tree. You walk into the, nowhere occurred to anybody in a million years. The way to get into the city is to walk through the, there was a crack in the tree that grew nuts on it. So that's why the city was called Luz, because it was protected with a Luz tree right at the entrance of the city. So when the whole city was wiped out, so this Nochri felt bad. All of his relatives were all killed. So he went to a different location, built another city that's called Luz. Hishmo Arayam Azeh. That's what it says in the Pasuk. He built another city in Eretz Yisrael. That city is called Luz. Tanya, what's the story with that Luz? He Luz, that city is a famous city. Shetzovim Batrelas. That's the city where they used to manufacture trelas. So the Jews used to use that city also. Not just this Nochri from the Zayin Umis lived in the city and his children, his grandchildren, great-grandchildren, on South Kaladiris. The Jews also lived in that city in Herzog. That's where they made Chelet. He lived Shabbos Sancheirev. When Sancheirev came, he was the general of Yami v'loi Bilbala. He didn't destroy the city. The Vuchanetzer came v'loi Echriv. He didn't destroy it either. Rav Malachamav saying le Rishu Slavabod. The Rechachamav had a tradition that no one ever dies from old age in the city Luz. They live forever. Who wants to live forever? Life gets boring. So the Gemara says, Ella, Zikanim Shabbat, when they reach the age of whatever, 120, 350, however old they are already, and they can't keep track of all their great-great-great-grandchildren, it's too taxing to give so many birthday presents, to blow out so many candles, whatever it is. Zikanim Shabbat, Zman Shadaitim Kotzalem, when they decide that they've had it, so Kolzman, they're going to stay in the city, they're not going to die. So Yotzim Chutz Lachayim Avehei Mesim, they would go outside of the wall of the city, and then they would die there. So that's the whole discussion that the poskim have. You're allowed to commit suicide. They go, cause mind they live in the city, they're going to live on and on forever and ever. So how are they allowed to live the city? Is not committing. They're killing themselves. Aren't they committing suicide via dying? So the answer is no. This is a miracle that they keep on living in the city. But derech hateva, they should have died a long time ago. Because they're old and they're weak and feeble and so on. But it said, miraculously, no one ever died. Mohammed has had no shlita in the city. Luz, if they go out of the city, so they die, a natural death. So that's not considered. You see from the Gemara, since the quality of life is so poor, so you're not mechuyev to stand on your head to extend your life in all circumstances. They don't have a dait in Kotzalem. They've had it already. So they have the right to leave the city and die a natural death. Right, so you're not mechuyev always to put a person on a machine. If you think he's going to get, if you put him on a ventilator for a couple of days, then he's going to be able to breathe on his own later and lead a normal life is good. Otherwise, they cannot mechuyev. Let him die a natural death. You're not always mechuyev. Sometimes you're doing a disservice. Once you put him on the machine, and then if you're going to take him off, he's going to die right away. So then when you take him off, you're killing him. So that you're not allowed to do. So sometimes we say, don't put him on the machine. In Eretz Yisrael, they solved the problem. So how do you know in advance whether you should put him on the machine? So in Eretz Yisrael, they put the ventilator on a Shabbos clock. So it only keeps him alive for 12 hours. Then at the end of the 12 hours, they have to decide, should we keep him on for another 12 hours, or should we just let everything end like this? In America, in the hospitals, they're going to start doing that. The doctors are discussing to start to do that. Because they see, when you have Jewish patients, that it's such a difficult decision to make whether they should put him on a ventilator or not. And then once you put him on a ventilator, they can't take him off. Because you take him off on the ventilator, you're killing him via dying. So the doctors are coming around to the realization that to cater to the Jewish patients, they're going to have to do like in Eretz Yisrael. I think the Knesset approved it in Eretz Yisrael. The Rabbanim approved it. then the Knesset had to approve it, and that's what they do. They put people on ventilators on the Shabbos clock only for 12 hours. Then at the end of the 12 hours, they decide, is it Kedai to extend it for another 12 hours, or should we just let them expire and leave things the way they are? But that's what you see from this Gemara. Not always mechuyev to extend life. That's in the collection after the Chazon Ish passed away. So they published a collection of letters written by the Chazon Ish. They published three collections of letters. Kovitz, Igros, Chazon Ish. So that's a beautiful letters. Even if you don't, he is very anti-Medina. The Chazon Ish will be very anti-Medina. But the letters that he wrote are so beautiful, you cannot not enjoy the style of the letter. Even when he's saying things that you don't like, you cannot not enjoy it because he has such a beautiful style. He made up his own style of Hebrew. So after his brother-in-law passed away, the Stipler, so they also did the same shtick. They published a collection of letters by the Stipler. But the Stipler's style is not such a fancy, beautiful Hebrew. It has a rough, a rough style of Hebrew. So either you like the content or you don't. But the style of Hebrew is no great shakes. So one of the in the first collection of letters of the Stipler, so they asked him, most of the things were Eitzes, not Shilas and Din. And even when they asked for Shilas and Din, he wasn't a Poisek, he was a Malamed, he used to teach Gemara. So they asked him, Shilas, what's the Jewish attitude about extending life? So he said, when we were young children, we were taught that the Jewish position is you always push on, you always extend life. Then we got a little older, and we started to learn a little Gemara. So we came across the Gemara in the Dorim, there's a Ran in the Dorim on Daf Mem, that it's not always a mitzvah to extend life. You're not allowed to shorten a person's life, you're not allowed to do mercy killing, but it's not always considered a mitzvah to extend life, and sometimes it makes sense to daven to the Baruch Shalom that someone should die earlier, that he shouldn't have, he shouldn't suffer so much. And then he says, when we got even older, so we saw in Shulchan Aruch that all that is quoted in Lalocha, it's not always a mitzvah to extend life. He doesn't tell you what the din is, he just says it's not the way we thought, it's not the way we were told when we were little children. He doesn't give you the klal. But the klal is that it depends on the chayla, whatever the chayla thinks is in his best interest. If it's reasonable, if the chayla would, the chayla's request is, or the closest of kin knows that his request would have been, let's say he's in a coma, and his wife knows, or his children know, that he always said, let me die, don't see oyster neshama. If I ever come to such a situation, just let me die. So you let him die? That's what he asked. So let me die. And I'm going to do against his wishes. Right, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi was sick and dying. And then there was a blacksmith. They were praying for him. They were saying to him he should not die. And then there was a blacksmith that kept on banging and making noise in the neighborhood, and he kept on perking up. So first, the Amsa, the Bei Rebbe, the maid of Rebbe, sent a message to the Bochum, please stop davening till him. It's better for Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, he should die, because he's suffering in pain. And then she saw that he's not dying, even after they stopped saying till him, he's not dying, because the blacksmith kept on making noise. So she asked him, please send a message to the blacksmith, he should stop for an hour, he should stop making noise. And once he stopped banging, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi passed away. So the Ran in the Dorim, on Daf Mem, quotes that Gemara from the end of Maseches Ksubis. The Gemara goes on a whole description that's called Ashkafta de Rebbe, the death of Rebbe. They have there's a whole sefer written by Rabbi Rifkin. Rabbi Rifkin was a Lubavitcher, and he used to be the Masmich in Torah Vadas. He used to give Smich in Torah Vadas. So he wrote a whole sefer Ashkafta de Rebbe, describing the death of the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe, I think, of the fifth Lubavitcher Rebbe. He was there the last days. And that's the title of the book, Ashkafta de Rebbe, the death of Rebbe. That's the title of that sugya at the end of Ksuba. The Gemara says, what happened the last couple of days of the lifetime of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? So it's all based, that Ran and the Dorim, and the Ramah and Shulchan, it was all based on that Gemara. That the Gemara says that sometimes we pray that a person should die. We don't always pray the person should live. Sometimes you pray that he should die. A lot of times you don't know what's in his best interest. So a lot of times it's best that he should die, but you're not sure. So you pray to the Baruch Shalom, and Baruch Shalom should have Rachmanis on the Chayla, whatever Rachmanis means. Sometimes Rachmanis is that he should die. Sometimes Rachmanis is that he should get better. So if you can't figure out, the doctors can't always tell which is in the best interest of the Chayla. So you pray to the Baruch Shalom, should have Rachmanis. But that's what you see from this Gemara, that we don't always declare it's best to push on. The Gemara says in the city Luz, when they reached a very old age and they decided that they had it, they didn't want to live anymore. They would leave the city. They would leave the city.
Tony Amati had the same problem, no?
Yeah.
He came when he got
Yeah, the Gemara says, Chanei HaMagen went to sleep for so many years, and then he came back to life, and then he went into the yeshiva, and they were talking and learning. They had a question, so he answered the question. So they say, hey, this guy knows how to learn like Chani Amago. So he said, what do you mean like Chani Amago? I am Chani Amago. And they thought he was crazy. What are you talking? Chani Amago died 80 years ago because he disappeared. He had gone to sleep for so many years. So he prayed to the, and they were mechabed him, but they weren't mechabed him like Chani Amago. They were mechabed him like one who knows how to learn like Chani Amago. So he prayed to the Rabban Shlomo, should take his life. They're not mechabed me. I don't feel that they're giving me the proper respect. So he prayed to Rabban Shlom, O Chavrusa, O Misusa. Either see to it that they should give me the proper covet, or take my life. So Rabban Shlom had him die. Yeah. That's the Gemara. So the Gemara tells this whole story about this Nochri, this Kenani, he was from the Zionumis. And he helped whoever it was, that Shevet, and that a few Shvatim there were trying to conquer various cities. So he helped them conquer the cities. So if you would have asked me, I would have said, why was he rewarded? Because he helped the Jewish people conquer Eretz Yisrael. There was a mitzvah, Kibush Eretz Yisrael, and generally speaking, they had conquered most of Eretz Yisrael, but here and there were pockets. So whoever helped them, whichever Nochri, helped the Jewish people conquer these pockets, deserves a reward. So the Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara says he deserves a reward because of the mitzvah of Leviyah. Because they didn't know which way to get into the city. That's not exactly. There was something more than Leviah here. He was helping them conquer. This was a war effort. I don't know. So the Gemara about the Dvarim Kalvachaim Amak Nine. He said this Nochri from the Zainumis. Shuladibe Befiv. The Gemara has a tradition. He didn't even tell him where the entrance is. Ladiba. He didn't speak at all. For the Halach Beragla. The Gemara has a tradition. He didn't take them by the hand and show them where the entrance to the city was. He was Miramis. The Gemara is going to have a question exactly why. How was he Miramis? Nonetheless, he was rewarded. Garam Hatzala Lo Ulazaray Atzayif Kaladaris. He was spared, and his children were spared. That's what it says in the pasuk. He and his family, they all went Chutz Lachayma, and they're still alive today. His descendants, Dori Doris, they're alive. So Misha Isa Levia Biraglov. If a person walks with the other person, that he shouldn't get lost. Allah has Kama V'Kama, that he deserves a reward for doing Levia. I don't understand exactly why the Gemara just considers this Leviah. This was a much different mitzvah of Leviah. He helped them conquer the city. He helped them win the war. I don't know. So the Gemara has a tradition that he didn't walk with them and he didn't even say bepeh. He didn't even say, walk into that tree and that'll show you the way. So how, the Gemara is, Bameh Heralehem. So how did he show them where the entrance to the city is? So the Gemara has, Chizkiyam Befiv Ikem Lehem. He just twisted his lips a little bit, and thereby, without saying a word, and he showed them. Rabbi Yochanan says, "Be'atzbar ha'alehem." He pointed with his finger. He didn't walk, and he didn't say. They asked him, "Where's the entrance to the city?" So he just went like that. Tani kavasa de Rabbi Yochanan. There's a brisa that says, like Rabbi Yochanan, that be'atzbar ha'alehem. What does the brisa say? Shul sheknayin hezeh her be'atzbar, because he pointed with his finger. He didn't walk with his feet, and he didn't even speak. Just he pointed with his finger. Garam Hatzala Lo Lazarat Saif Kaladar. It's fine. What happens if there's nobody there to help you while you're traveling on the highway, or you're walking in the city and you're afraid you're going to get lost? What can you do to see to it that you don't get lost? Amar Rabbi Shimon Levi, Mahalech Baderech, if a person is on a road, Ve'ein Lo Levi, there's nobody there to go with him, Yasek Batera. The recommendation is he should talk and learn. Shinemar, the Pasuk says in Mishlei, much of Mishlei describes the greatness of the Torah. Many prokem in Mishlei speak about the value of learning Torah. So the pasuk, the simple reading of the pasuk is, when a person learns Torah, it'll add chen to him. Ki libi aschen heim l'roshecha. Learning Torah will grant you chen. V'anokim l'gagar asecha. It'll be as if you put on a necklace around your neck. People will like you, and people will look up to you. You'll be respected. So the pashup shadon pask livias chayim heim lerashecha. By learning Torah, you will gain chayim. You will acquire chayim. So the Gemara interprets it as if it's a leviyah, as if learning Torah is going to be malaviyah when you walk on the road. There's an inyan of leviyah that someone should walk with someone else to show them the way that they shouldn't get lost. So if you don't have someone hamalach baderech vein lo leviyah, no one there to help them, prevent them from getting lost, and let him talk and learning, and that will substitute for the Leviah. Then the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Shemalei b'shul arbo psia sheliva parli Avram." When Avram Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, and then Parah Melech Mitzrayim took Sarah. She was good looking, and Avram Avinu didn't say that they were afraid to say that they were married, because then he may kill him. So he took Sarah, and then he was punished, and they all got sick. So then he gave back Sarah to Avram Avinu, and then it says, "Vayitzav ala Parah Noshim." Parah insisted that he should leave. He was afraid if Avram Avinu is going to stay there, someone's going to start up with him, or they're going to start up with his wife because she was so good looking. So the pasuk says, "Vayitzav ala Parah Noshim," and the Gemara has a tradition that he walked arba psias. He walked four steps to walk with Avram Avinu. "Please leave my area. We don't want to have any trouble. Ribbono shel Olam made us all sick, and now we're healthy. Please leave." So because Parah did a mitzvah, he was malava Avram Avinu four steps worth, therefore, nishtabed bibonav arba me'ashana. That's why later, in later generations, that's not necessarily the same Parah. It's a different Parah, one after the other. But Parah is the name for the Melech Mitzrayim. So that's why later, in generations later, nishtabed bibonav arba me'ashana shanam v'avodim yidu arsam arba me'ashana. Parah was given shlita over the Jewish people as a reward for the fact that he did the mitzvah of Leviah.
Very disproportionate.
Yeah, but he deserved reward. Parah Melech Mitzrayim deserved reward for doing his good deed.
So
his
places.
Yeah, very strange. I don't know. Very strange Gemara.
But it was only 210 years. The 400 that you calculate that starts with the birth of Yitzchak. But it doesn't help Parah that when Yitzchak was born.
Yes, I don't know. It's a strange Gemara. I don't know. Amar Rav Yudah Marav Kol Malavis Chaver Dalad Amis. He went out of his way to be mechabed the Ribbono Shlom, so he was rewarded. Yeah.
Levia.
Right, that was not Levia. This is Ashtik Levia. Yeah. Everyone is rewarded for any slight little good deed that anybody does. That's how the Gemara is saying. You just walk four steps and you get a tremendous reward. If you, even though you're not going to walk all the way with him, you're not going to walk till the end of the block and then show him, you go over here and you go in there. Just walk Dalet Amos, even though you didn't really help him that much, still it'll protect the traveler and he will not be Nizek. So Gemara tells a story. Ravina Alviye Lerava by Yitzchak Dalet Amos Beir. He walked with him Dalet Amos, that's all. Mataliyade Hazeka, and he almost got injured. V'itzel. And he was Nitzel because of the fact that Ravina was malava him the Dalet Amos. So it's a big, it serves as a protection if someone is malava someone else. How far are you supposed to be malava? So the Gemara spoke about the minimum shir is Dalet Amos. Now the Gemara is talking about bigger shirim. Tana Rabbana, we have a brisa. Harav le Talmud, if the Talmud is leaving, so the Rebbe is supposed to be malava the Talmud, to walk with him. How far? Adi burish alir. Wow. Iburish alir is when you have all the houses together. We learned in Erevin. Then 70 amas away, till the first 70 amas, outside of the last house in the city, that's called the Iburish Alir. So the Rebbe is mechuyev to go with the Talmud ad Iburish Alir. What if it's not a Rebbe for a Talmud? What if it's Chavar l'Chavar? Then they're both on the same level. This can't Rebbe Talmud. So the Chavar ma mechuyev to go further than that. How much further? Ad Tchum Shabbos. Alpai Mama outside of the 70 amas. Tchum Shabbos is one mil. Alpai Mama past the 70 amas. What about Farkeh Talmud Lerav? What if the Rebbe is going somewhere and the Talmud has a bigger chiyuv than the Chaver L'Chaver? How far is that? Ein lo shir. It's even more than Tchum Shabbos. V'kam Orin, ein lo shir. You should go all the way. He's going from Yerushalayim to Tel Aviv. So you walk him all the way to Tel Aviv. That's not reasonable. That's not Malava. Malava needs to go part of the way. So how much is part of the way? So the Gemara ad Parsa. A Parsa is 4 mil. Parsa is 4 mil. Chaver l'chaver is on Tchum Shabbos is 1 mil. And Talmud l'rab is mechuyev ad parsa 4 mil. So Gemara v'lar, Marnel l'rab v'sheinah muvak. There's a Rebbe muvak and a Rebbe sheinah muvak. Rebbe muvak means sherov chachmasi hemenu. My whole Torah personality was formed by that person. He had such a big influence on me, he made me into a ben Torah. So that's called Rabbe muvak. Rabbe sheinah muvak means I learned by this Rebbe in whatever, the 8th grade. And if I keep on learning so much that I read Chabib Gishtig and I know how to learn better than him. So then also he's called Rabbi Shenemuva. That's called Talmud Chaver. Talmud Chaver means I was once a Talmud of that Rebbe, and he advanced my Torah knowledge, and now I caught up to him. Now, at that time, he knew much more than me, but now I caught up to him. That's called a Talmud Chaver. So you still have to treat him like Rabbi Shena Muvok. Well, let's say I didn't catch up to anybody, but I have five different rabbeim. So one of them had the most influence on me. He's called the Rabbi Muvok, and the others are Rabbi Shena Muvok. So the Gemara says, this din, that the Talmud has to be Malava, the Rebbe, only four mil, but I'm not the Rabbi Shena Muvok. Of Rabbi Muvok, you have to go Sholosh Parsois. Sholosh Parsois is 12 mil. I don't know. Very good question. I don't know where it comes from. The Gemara tells stories about Amoraim who are malava each other. Rav Kana Alviyeli Rav Simi Barash and Mipum Nara Ad Beit Sinisa de Bovel. I don't know how far that was. But probably Chaverim. So he walked with him Tchum Shabbos. Kimoto Hosam Beit Sinisa de Bovel is a location apparently where there are a lot of trees. A big forest. That's how Rashi says. Sinisa is a forest with trees. So then, Kimoto Hasam, when they reached that location, he decided, that's it. I'm not going to be Malavim anymore. I'm going to go back home. Omalei. So one said to the other, oh, we arrived at this location. You know, I once heard of art about this location. Vada di Amritu, is it true what they say? Hani Tsinisa de Bovo, these trees were planted from the days of Adam Rishon. Mishnei Adam Rishon is Nehu. Is it true what they say, that the trees are here from the days of Adam Rishon? Amalei, so the other one tells him back, that I don't know if that's true, but you reminded me of a different word that I did hear that is authentic. Ad karta milsa, dam rabbi yeisi b'rab chanina. You just reminded me of a word. You're talking about whether the trees are here from the days of Adam Rishon. So you reminded me of a word that I heard over in the name of rabbi yeisi b'rab chanina, based on a pasuk in Yirmiyah. The Pasuk says about people going in no man's land. They're going in a location where no one ever lived there. They went to a location, Be'eretz Lava Ba'ish, no one ever passed through there. V'lo Yoshev Adam Shom, no one ever lived there. So the Gemara is bothered, Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanin is bothered with the question, if Lava Ba'ish, if it's a location where no one ever passed through, so Fashtetzel HaKal V'chaim, no one ever lived there. You can have a location where people do pass through, but no one ever lived there. But you can't have a location where people live there, no one ever walked through. So the pasuk is written backwards. Beretz lava ba'ish, no one ever passed through, and not only that, no one ever lived there. That's a kal v'chaimer. V'chem yachu shalover hechon yashav. The answer is no. But la yashav adam sham does mean there's no yishuv of human beings. The word adam means adam arishon, and la yashav means adam arishon was not geizer that there should be a yishuv. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it in the hands of adam arishon to determine. Adam Rishon was the balabas to determine on the whole globe where there'll be a yeshiva and where there should be jungles. So the locations that are jungles today in Africa, wherever, all the different places in the world, because Adam Rishon was not geizer that there should be a yeshiva there. Whenever there's a eretz shegozer aleha Adam Harishon leyeshiv, any piece of land that Adam Rishon said, I want this place to be inhabited, was nisyashva. So a yeshiva developed there. Whenever, so the Gemara is interpreting, Rabbi Yosef Ben Chanin is interpreting the pasuk in Yirmiyah, that it does mean v'lo yashav adam sham, people never lived there. It means adam rishon was never geizer that there should be a yishuv. So that's why lo yavo ba'ish, no one ever passed there because adam rishon was never geizer. Then the Gemara tells another story. Rabbi Mordechai alviyei l'rabash mehagrun yivad bekipik. We don't know the city. So the Gemara is telling Aguzma, look how far he walked from here to there, very far. We don't know what it is on the map. We don't know where these cities are. Okay. He walked from one city to the other. He walked so far. He's Mechaverim, so they walked with each other. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan never saw Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yochanan was a Talmud of Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Rabbi Meir was way before. Rabbi Meir died before Rabbi Yochanan was born. So that's why he says, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Meir. Mishum means that he heard over in his name. If he would have heard directly, he would say, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Amar Rabbi Meir. So he says, Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Mishum Rabbi Meir, heard the name Rabbi Meir, Kol She'ena Malave U'mislave, whoever doesn't accompany someone else as they're traveling on the highway, or he doesn't let other people accompany him, Kilo Sheikh Damim. He may be causing someone to lose his life. Because if you're not malav with the other guy, he may get lost, and he may be killed by the wild animals, and may be killed by the murderers, by the gangsters. And if you don't let the other people malav you, so you may lose your life. How do we see that it's so? So the Gemara tells this story. The Tanakh tells a story in, where is it, in Sefer Melachim? In Sefer Melachim. That Elisha Hanavi was the Talmud of Eliyahu Hanavi. And the water in the city of Yericho was awful. It was bitter water. So the people in Yericho, that's how the Gemara is going to interpret Pshat in the Pasuk. So the people in Yericho couldn't drink the water there. It was so awful. So people, they used to have asatregas. They used to have people would take buckets of water, containers of water from a different river, from a different location, and bring it over here and sell the water. That was their parnasa. So the people in Yericho came to Elisha Hanavi and he asked, maybe you can do something for us. So he did a miracle and he threw something into the water just like Moshe Rabbeinu. It says, in Chumash it says like that, in the city Mora, Al King Korosh Mora, because the water was bitter. So here in Yericho also, Yishua ben Nun did a nes and the water was tasty. Elisha Hanavi did a miracle and the water was tasty. So these people just lost their panosa. These people used to sell water, they sold bottled water, so they just lost their ganze parnosa. So they were furious at Elisha that they lost their parnosa. So they started making fun of him. Alei kerech, alei kerech. Apparently he was a baldy, so they're making fun of him. So he got so angry, Elisha got so angry, he cursed them, Hashem Hashem Elokei Yisrael. And they were devoured by bears. So the Gemara says, If the people from Yericho would not have allowed Elisha to walk by himself, someone would have been walking with him. They would have been malava him, so the kids wouldn't start cursing. They wouldn't have made fun of him. Alei kerech. They would see that he's walking with a group of people, and they wouldn't have to curse them back, and they wouldn't have been devoured by the bears. So they lost their lives because of the fact that nobody was malava Elisha. Indirectly, no. If they would have been malava, So the Orim, the young kids, would have seen that he's a covetic person. They wouldn't have started up with him. The whole story is very strange. The man Haschinach asks, it's a pasuk in Chumash, lo se kal cherish. You're not allowed to curse even a deaf person. Kal v'chaim, you're not allowed to curse a person who can hear. So how does Elisha curse him? I kal lai m'shem Hashem elokei yisro. He curses them. It's a pella.
It's an expression in Hebrew. When you want to say it never happened,
right. Right, that's here in this Gemara. The Gemara says that it was a miracle. The one opinion is there was no forest and there were no bears. And because Elisha cursed him, so in Hashemayim they caused the miracle to occur. A forest developed from nowhere and then the bears came. The Gemara says, so what do they need a forest for? Why didn't they just have a miracle that the bears should come? The Gemara says, no, the bears would feel uncomfortable if there's no forest. Bears only feel at home if there's a forest. Then they'll jump out of the forest a little bit, jump back into the forest. So that's how one opinion is. There was a nes betoch nes. That's on the top. On the top of Mem Zayin, the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel had a machloikis, chadomar nes. One says there was one nes, v'chadomar. The other one says, no, it was a nes betoch nes. Mandu yomar nes, one of the two, I don't know, Rabbi Shmuel, one of them says it was a nes. Yarhava, there was a forest, but there were no bears in the forest. So because Elisha cursed them, so bears came from nowhere, out of nowhere, and the forest, and they ate up these kids. And the other one, Man Yom Nes B'toch Nes, the other one says it was a nes, it's a double nes, because it was like you said, Loidubim V'loyar. There was no forest and there were no bears at all. So, Min HaShemayim, they made a double miracle to happen. Loyar Haba V'loidubim Haba. There was no forest, there were no bears. So, double miracle happened. Frag them all, what do you need? A double miracle. V'loidubim V'loyar. The yar didn't devour the kids. So, Judas, all they needed were the bears. So, why was it necessary to make a nes B'toch Nes? And for the Gemara to be easy, the bears would be scared. They wouldn't do their job. They wouldn't have eaten up the kids if there wouldn't be a forest to run back into. The bears only like to live in a forest. Then they'll come out and eat people up if they can run back into the forest. But if there's no forest to run back into, so then they won't function well. So that's the Yiddish expression, Loidubim V'loyar. So the Minchas Chinuch asked, how did he have the right to curse him? It's a law in the Torah, lo se kal cherish. So he has one suggestion, a shveri suggestion. Apikoiris is Dina Ka'akum. A person who's an apikoiris is treated sometimes like a nochri, and the Yisrael is a kalcheirish, gate naran if the person whom you're cursing is a Yisrael. If he's a nochri, it's mutter. So over here, Zezani given apikoisim. Why were they apikoisim? Because the Gemara says they didn't believe that their parnasa is ben Hashemayim. They just lost their parnasa because he made a miracle, vayim tukuh hamayim, that the water in Yericho was tasty. So now there's no longer any need to buy bottled water, so they lost their parnasa. So the Gemara says they were mechutzri amona, they didn't have emunah. Real emunah is you believe that your parnasa is min Hashemayim. So the Minhas Chinuch says it's a shvera teretz. Most people are not so conscious of the fact that their parnasa is directly min Hashemayim. Most people act all day long as if their parnasa is not min Hashemayim, because you get angry when someone else is masig vul on you. What are you worried about? Min Hashemayim, you're going to get your parnasa. What are you so worried about? And you work very hard. You work all day and all night in order to improve your parnasa. What are you working so hard for? Parnasa is min Hashemayim. If you'll do a little hishtadlus. So most people today are mechusri amon. Most people are not so. No, he's not allowed to be masig vul, but I shouldn't be so nervous about it. I have a right to bring him to a din Torah because he's not allowed to gamble from me. But bottom line, I shouldn't be so nervous about it, shouldn't be so worried about it. But everybody's worried about parnasa. So you're going to say all of us are apikursim because we all take parnasa to heart. But so he says, even though the Gemara says that they were mechusri amona, they didn't have proper amuna, ktani amona. The Gemara says they were ktani amona, they didn't have full amuna. All of us have were shvachan amuna. If we wouldn't be shvach and amuna, we would never be nervous about parnasa. Everyone's nervous about parnasa. So he says that you can't say like that. You can't say that there's apikoris dina kakm. Aktani amuna is an ishkan apikoris. So what is the answer? So he quotes a Russian Bava Kamma. There's a Mishnah Bava Kamma about two people are fighting with each other and they beat each other up. They beat each other up. And then I'm mechuyev to pay the hezek to you that I caused you. You're mechuyev to pay the hezek that you caused to me. So the Mishnah says, you see, how much did you injure me? How much did I injure you? Whoever injured the other one more pays the differential. Or shnei shvarim shechav lo zeh bezeh, shnei shvarim tam shechav lo bezeh, mishal b'memoisa nezek shalom chatzin nezek. So the Rosh has a comment over there. Who started up with whom? So he says the Mishnayis is talking about a case. They both started up with each other simultaneously. The two behemoths started up with each other sometimes, the two people started up. Because if one started up, the other guy has a right to sock him back in self-defense. So even if you started up with me, and I punch you and I beat you up in self-defense, and it comes out that I was mazik you more than you were mazik me, I had the right to. I'm not mechuyev to pay a penny because you started up with me. So the Minchas Chinuch gives a suggestion, shvera suggestion. He admits himself a shvera suggestion, that maybe the Yisrael Lossa Kal Cherish only is, out of the clear blue sky, I start cursing someone. But if the other guy starts up with me, then I have a right to give him back. Yeah, but they started up with him, they said, Alei Kereach. They were making fun, hey, baldy, so rabbi. So that's the Pella. The Gemara says he was punished. The Gemara says later, Elisha was punished because of the fact that he caused the death to the 42 kids. It wasn't proper on his part.
They were kids also, they were children. So
the Gemara thinks they were not ketanim. The pasuk says ketanim, so the Gemara says they were mektani amona. They were shvachin and bitochen. But that doesn't mean that they were before bar mitzvah.
Why isn't it the ritzim which Shmuel and the ritzim not good yet? Basically, saw, and he also was a nubby. So, I mean, you're asking a kasha on a stam yid, can't be makabal, but Elisha's a nubby. So, and Shmuel and the ritzim nafka give things that he saw.
But still, what right do I have to curse them?
He saw that they had no ability to ever do any mitzvahs. They came from people that were wicked people, and that they were like the Amorites. I mean, I don't know.
If a person, that's what he says. If a person's really an apikoros, is dina ka'akum, so that's one thing. But we don't find that they were apikorsim. They weren't so observant, and it didn't say that any great shakes is going to come out of them. Nothing special is going to happen.
So that's the Mandi Amar right before that.
That one?
Shmuel Amar, that the Hei Mekulunus would be Yom Kippur, if they were conceived in Yom Kippur. And then Mitzvah Nafka says that he saw they had long locks of hair. So
yeah. That's the next Gemara. Yeah, we didn't get there yet. Yeah. That what?
Maybe that's a parrot.
Rashi says what? Rashi says what? Yeah, we'll get to that. We didn't get to that Gemara yet. Let's take a look in the Gemara.
Also, like, if he was punished, that means he did something wrong. They know he did something wrong. So why did they do a miracle? Why did they do a nest for him?
Why did they do a nest for him?
Yeah, if he'd be punished.
It was Gemara assumes that it was a mistake in judgment. He made a mistake. He shouldn't have exaggerated so much. But the Gemara assumes that he really didn't do an outright Avera. That's when the Menchas Chinuch says, what are you talking? You're allowed to curse a person. It's an outright Avera. The Gemara says it was a mistake in judgment. And because he was such a tzaddik, that's why he was punished. So he took sick. He took sick because of the fact that he had cursed them. That he caused them to die. So the Gemara quotes this whole part. Vayal Misham Beisel, Elisha Navi was going from there, from Yericho. After he cured the water in Yericho, it tasted good. He was going to Beisel. V'hu Ola Baderech. He was climbing up on a highway. In the Orm Ketanim Yotzim in Ho'ir. They came from which city? Poshim, they came from Yericho. That's the Poshim Shad. Yotzim in Ho'ir, they came from Yericho. Vayiskal Sabah, they started making fun of him. Vayomer La'alekerech, alekerech, baldy, baldy, climb up the highway. What they call him, kerech? Omru Lai. So the Gemara, Poshim Shad, says that he was bald. The Gemara says, no. Ale, go up on the high, go away from us. Shehikracht alei nas hamokim. Kerech means when the hair is missing. So you just ruined our parnasa. You just improved the water, so the water in Yericho tastes good. So we just lost our whole parnasa. So we lost this whole area, as if you would have chopped down all the trees there. So this area is no longer our. We can no longer make any money here. Hikracht alei nas hamokim. Frag the Gemara. Umay when the orim ktanim, that's a contradiction. Ktanim means before bar mitzvah, and a nar means after bar mitzvah. Like you have a ktana, naira, and a bogera. So ktana is a girl before bar mitzvah, a naira is the first 6 months after bar mitzvah, between the age of 12 and the age of 12 and a half, and a bogera is after 12 and a half. So a nar is also, a cotton is up until bar mitzvah, and norm is after bar mitzvah. So how do you call them orim ktanim? It's a contradiction in terms. Amar Ablaza, no, they were ktanim. He reinterprets both. He says there were neither ktanim nor na'arim. How does he say? Na'arim means minu orim min ha-mitzvahs. They were shaked out. They had. If you would shake them, if you shake me, some money will fall out from my pocket. A pen will fall out. Other things will fall out. You shake them out, no mitzvahs will shake out of them. These people had no mitzvahs. That's minu orim min ha-mitzvahs. Why are they called ktanim? Shohi ktani amona. The ketanim in the norm doesn't describe their age at all. Doesn't mean ketanim before bar mitzvah, doesn't mean norm after bar mitzvah. Norm is a description, it's an adjective. Norm, they were minorim in our mitzvahs, they had no mitzvahs, and ketanim ketani amonim. Tana Bryce says, norm hoyu, ubiz bizwatzmam kiktanim. They were really older than, norm ketanim means age. They were really after bar mitzvah, but they were acting like babies. They were acting like babies. You call a rabbi baldy. Make fun of a rabbi because he did a miracle that he made the water good and now you lost your parnassus, you get another parnassus. Sell cookies, do something else. Oops, you can't find another parnassus. So that's what the Gemara is working on. How do you understand the orim ktanim? Isn't it a contradiction? The orim means after, like a naira, after bar mitzvah, and ktanim means before bar mitzvah. Frag the Gemara, we had two interpretations. The orim means menorim and amitzvahs. Or they were after bar mitzvah and they acted like babies. Maskev or Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef has a kasha on everybody. Vilma Shem Mekoimam. Maybe Na'orim means they came from the city like New Yorkers, like Washingtonians. Like Na'orim means they came from the city Na'orim. And Ketanim means they were before bar mitzvah. And Na'orim means from the city Na'orim. Me like Siv, we have a pasuk that says, V'aram Yotze Gedudim. There was a war between Aram and Eretz Yisrael. Vayishbum the Eretz Yisrael Nairik Tano, and they captured a young Jewish girl, and she was serving. That's the story about Naaman, who had the tzaras. He was Sar Tzva Melech Aram. He was a general in the army of the enemy, and he had the tzaras, and he went to all the doctors that were available in Aram, and they couldn't cure it. They told him, try this, try that, and nothing worked. And then there was a little Jewish girl who was taken prisoner, in one of the wars, and she was taken back into captivity, and she was a maid in someone's home. And then she said, why don't you go to the Novi Elisha? He'll cure you. So Melech Aram sent them a letter to Melech Yisrael, I forgot already which king it was. I understand you have a Novi Elisha who's a miracle man. He can do wonders. Let him cure the tzaras of my general. So the Melech Yisrael is ready to get a heart attack. How's he going to get him to cure the tzaras? He had no brera. So Naaman came, Teretz Yisrael, and he came. So they sent him to the Novi. And the Novi Elisha told him to go dip in the Yarden a few times and he'll be healed. So he said, the Yarden, he already dipped in Amon, Parpar, all the rivers, and Aram, the rivers are cleaner there. That's ridiculous. He's not gonna swim in the river Yarden. It cannot be that that has healing powers. And then they told him, you traveled so far. Don't worry what he says. Go into the Yarden. What do you have to lose? You have everything to gain, nothing to lose. So he went swimming in the Yarden, and he was healed. Then the Pasuk says he was so appreciative, he said, oh, you see, the only true God in the world is the God of the Jewish people. He's not going to worship Abba Zara anymore. And then he, out of Hakar Satov, he wanted to give Elisha a matana. So he offered him to give him gold and silver. He says, I make a parnasa, thank you very much. I don't need the money. So then the Pasuk says, the Gemara is going to tell the whole story later, that he had a Shamus Gehazi. So the Shamus heard that he's turning down all the money. He said he could use that money. So after Naaman left, so Gehazi chased after him, and he said, my boss changed his mind. Elisha Navi changed his mind, he'll accept the gift. Because two new Nevi'im, Elisha Navi said, we don't need, we have enough, everything's taken care of. So what changed? So Gehazi chases after Naaman, and he says, some new Talmidim came to the yeshiva to learn Nevuah. Elisha Navi had a yeshiva for Nevi'im, B'nei HaNevi'im. We have some new Talmidim, and we need some more parnas, we need some more money. So he says, swear to me that it's true. He didn't take his word, so he swore. Then he said, okay, so he took a couple of things. And then when he came back to Elisha, he was trying to hide the fact that he violated his wishes. So Elisha said, where were you? So he said, where did you disappear? He says, nowhere, I didn't go anywhere. So he says, what are you telling me a lie? The man gave you all the matanas, you should be cursed, the tzaras that he was suffering with. Tidbat b'cho u'bebanecho. So he had a couple of sons. He had three sons. So he and his Gehazi and his three sons were all punished, and they had the tzaras. And that's what the pasuk says: the haftorah of mitzvah. Says Rabba Noshim Hayoshim Pesach Hashar Pesach Shar Shomron. Shomron was a city that was a mukav chayma. It wasn't a city that was mukav chayma mimos Yeshua ben Nun. It didn't exist in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. The perek says there in Malachim when it was built by one of the Malchi Israel. Not in the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So strictly speaking, a mitzvah is permitted to enter the city. But the minig was that they treated Shomron as if it would have been, they treated it just like Ir HaMekefes Chamas Yeshua ben Nun, that a mitzvah is not permitted to enter. Not only not allowed to enter Yerushalayim, not allowed to enter any city. So the Abba Mitzvah, the Gemara has a tradition, that was Gehazi and his three sons. He was the gabbai. He wasn't. The Gemara says he was a good for nothing. The Gemara has a lot of negative things to say about Gehazi. He figured, how is he going to find out that I took the money?
It's like by us. We know we're taken care of by Hashem. He does all the nisim.
We still don't listen. We still don't do. Yeah. So the Gemara, in fact, Akashe, when it says Naorim Kitanim, maybe they were Kitanim before Bar Mitzvah. What Naorim means from the city, Naorim. As it says, V'aram Yotzik Dudim, Ayishma Meretzon Nara Kitano, they kidnapped this girl, and she was the one who told Naaman the Yetzi, she should go to the Novi, and Eretzon, the whole story. And we had a problem on that Pasuk. Nara, yeah, the kasha long we were bothered with the pasuk nairo ktana. It's impossibility. And nairo means after bas mitzvah. Ktana means before bas mitzvah. So which is it? Was she a ktana? Was she a nairo? The answer in pshat in the pasuk is she was a ketana. She was younger than 12 years young, but she came from the city, the min na'oren, like a New Yorker. So nairo ketana means she was from the city na'oren, and she was a ketana before bas mitzvah. So maybe I'll be here na'orem ketana. Na'orim Kitanim means they were Kitanim before Bar Mitzvah from the city Na'orim. So the Gemara says, no, over there by the Pasuk, Naira Kitana, you can say the girl came from the city north. Here it says where they came from. They came from Yericho. It says what city. You can't say Naorin means from the city Naorin. And for the Gemara Hasam by the girl, Loi Meforish Mekoina, doesn't say where she came from. So you have the right to interpret Naora Kitana, Naira Kitana, she came from the city Naorin. Abahacha Meforish Mekoina, here it says Beferish, Rashi says, from the city Yericho, by Yetzim in Hoir. They came from Yericho. That's why they were angry at Elisha that had just ruined their Parnassah. So the Pasuk says that Elisha Navi turned around when they called him Baldy. Baldy, he got angry. Vayif and Acharov, he turned around. Vayirem, he looked at them. Vayikalem, Meshem Hashem. So the Gemara wants to know, Maro, how do you translate Vayirem? Vayif and Acharov, he turned around. Obviously, he saw them. So what's the need to add on Vayirem? Vayikalem, okay. What is Vayirem? Maro. And for the Gemara, a different pshatim. Omar Rav, Ro, Mamish, he stared at them. And when a Talmid Chacham stares at someone and he gets angry, so that itself can cause the guy to drop dead. Kiditanya, huh? Gal Shalat Tzomis, the Gemara has a lotion. Kiditanya. If the Chachamim look at someone in anger, or Misa or Oni, either the person's going to drop dead, they'll turn, the Gemara has an expression, Nasa Gal Shalat Tzomis, he turned into a pile of bone. It means that he died, or Oni, or he's going to lose his parnas and he's going to be a poor man. So that's also like an Anonis Chashiv Kemes, also a punishment. So the first opinion in the Gemara is, why does it say, Vayifan Acharav Vayirem, he looked at them, the looking was itself caused them to die. Ushmol Amano, Ruah Shekulam, he saw Beruach HaKodesh, he couldn't see just by looking at them, he saw Beruach HaKodesh, Shekulam Nesar B'Bamima B'Yom HaKippurim. All of these 42 kids, all of their mothers had violated the laws of Yom Kippur. What in the Chamisha Nirman Yom Kippur is Tashmish Amita, and now I'll be with your husband. So all of these 42 kids who died, all of their mothers had violated the Inuyim on Yom Kippurim, and they were born out of sin. So you saw that the neshamas were all rotten, and nothing would be gained by having these people in Kol Yisrael. If you want to do them, this is like a Misa B'day Shamayim. Yeah, but sometimes if the parents, if the pregnancy came, Bavera said the neshama is going to be a weak neshama. And such a person with such a weak neshama will not be able to be too religious later on. He saw that they had a big chup. They had haircuts like goyim. They dressed up like goyim. They didn't look Jewish even. They weren't careful in mitzvahs. Like the goyim dressed up. Rabbi Yochanan Roa, he looked at them also, Beruach HaKodesh, Elohoisimam Lachlucha Shal Mitzvah. He saw that they were Arois Gator and Gansen for Mitzvahs, so therefore Chayach to punish them with a Misa B'dei Shamayim. Misa's Bezdin, if a person does an Avera and he deserves a Misa's Bezdin, so it does make a difference. Let's say a person did an Avera, then he does Tshuva, becomes the biggest tzaddik in the world. The Bezdin's still going to give Misa's Bezdin. If he deserved a Misa's Bezdin, Tshuva is not going to help. But as far as Misa B'dei Shamayim is concerned, so that you only punish a person with Misa B'dei Shamayim if he really deserves the punishment. If the tzaddikim now, they did an aver in the past, and now they did tshuva, so you're not going to give Misa B'dei Shamayim. So Rabbi Yechanan says, he looked at them and he saw Beruach HaKodesh, that they're empty from mitzvahs. Freg the Gemara, all right, they were empty from mitzvahs, but if you're going to kill them, so they won't be able to get married and have children. Maybe their children would be able to have mitzvahs. Maisim Tov. Yeah, so the Gemara says Vidilma Bizarayhu Mevahave. Maybe they would, if they would marry, if they, he wouldn't have caused them to die, they would have gotten married, so their children would have been able to perform mitzvahs. And for the Gemara, Omar Rablazer was a Talmud of Rabbi Yechanan. So he's filling in the taich that Rabbi Yechanan gave. So he says, no, he looked and he saw Beruach HaKodesh Loi Bom Loi Bizaram Atzev Kavader. So he understood Beruach HaKodesh that nothing good is going to come out of these kids. So that's why Chayach to cause them to have Misa B'dei Shamayim. Like by Moshe Rabbeinu, he wanted to punish the Mitzri with the Shem Amfarash, so he saw nothing good is ever going to come out of him, so he can give him Misa B'dei Shamayim.
So they were Mavazi Novi,
yeah, okay. Yeah, but he didn't have to curse them.
Yeah.
he could have stared at them and they would drop dead. Why was it necessary for him to curse? What was the hetter for him to curse him? That's what the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with. Why should he be allowed to curse them? So then the pasuk continues, Vatetzeno shtayim dubim min hayar, two bears came out of the forest, Vatevkena mehem aboy mishnei elodim. And the two bears killed 42 of this chever. Looks like as if the chever was bigger than 42, a bigger crowd, 42 of them died. So then the Gemara has the machlekes Rabbi Shmuel, what's the story? So one says there was a forest, but there were no bears. So that was a miracle that the bears appeared out of nowhere. The other one says, no, it was a nest, betoch nest. There were lo dum and velo yad. Rabbi David Cohen from Flatbush put out a very fascinating sefer in Hebrew. He put out around 35 svarim. So one of his fascinating svarim is all the Yiddish expressions, which midrashim are they based on? So the dum velo yad, that's a dead giveaway. That's over here in this Gemara. But he has a lot of other expressions that are all based on Midrashim and Mamari Chazal. Very fascinating occurs. Like there's a Yiddish expression, Senemte Mayor na Mitvach. It takes him so long to do something, it takes a year and a Wednesday. That's Faloshin, a year and a Wednesday. So that's based on the first Mishnah in Ksubis. That when a couple gets married in the days of the Mishnah, they used to have Erisin now. Erisin is Harem Kodesh gave a ring, and you didn't have Nisuin until a year later. So she's a Psula. You have to wait till he's mechuyev to do knisa l'chupa. He has to get married a year later, but then psulin nisus liyom ravi. So if the year is up, let's say they have kiddushin today. What's today? What day is it? I don't even know. An ear, sivan, whatever day it is in sivan. So let's say yud sivan. So next year we have to have nisuin by yud sivan. If yud sivan is on a Thursday, he has another couple of days till a Wednesday. So you have davat na yom et hamitvach. You have to wait a year plus till next Wednesday to get married. Then it has many other expressions based on Midrashim and Psukim. Some are based on Psukim, some based on Yerushalmis. That's Yoshke.
Yeah.
The Christians claim that Yoshke died. He was killed by the rabbis. Yeah. There's a book in English, Who Killed Jesus? It says Solomon Zeitlin. That's what it says on the first page. Who killed Jesus? Solomon Zeitlin. He's the one who wrote the book. So the Jews killed Jesus. That's how they claim. So they believe that Yoshke got up from the dead and then he flew away. And we believe Nishgishteigen or Nishgifleigen. He didn't stand up and he didn't fly away. Yeah, that's based on history. Nishgishteigen, Nishgifleigen. But he has many more. A whole book. A whole book. Very fascinating. I don't know. They must have had a tradition that there was a miracle. And they argue how much of a miracle. Was it one ness or a double ness? Ness betoch ness. I don't know. In the psukim, there's no hechrich. You could say that it was a forest that did have bears. There are locations where there are bears. Yeah, I don't know. Then the Gemara continues on the fourth line. Amar Rabbi Chanina, Bishvil Aboy Mishtaim Karban Sheikri Balak, the number 42 is interesting over here. 42 of the children lost their lives. And we find in earlier years that Anochri brought 42 Karbanas. So the Gemara says, Bishvil Aboy Mishtaim Karban Sheikri Balak Melech Moya, Balak Melech Moya wanted Bilam to curse the Jewish people. So he kept on offering Karbanas La Shamayim, that min hashamayim they should give permission to Bilam to curse. And then and Bilam knew how to be mechab in the show when the Rabban Shalom gets angry, he's going to curse. And the whole time that he was there, the Rabban Shalom didn't get angry, so he wasn't able to curse Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara says, he brought 42 karbonis, it wasn't l'shem shamayim. The 42 karbonis that he brought were in order to curse the Jewish people. But l'maisa, he brought 42 karbonis, shalo l'shma. Bishvil 42 karbanos sheikri balak melech moyav. That's why years, generations later, hufku miyisrael aboy mishnayim yelodim. That's why 42 Jews lost their lives later. Because his wish was granted. He really wanted the Jewish people to be cursed and we should all lose our lives. So part of his wish was granted. 42 Jews lost their lives. Frank Markasha, wait a minute. The fact that he brought the 42 karbanos, he was rewarded in a different way. Not that he's rewarded that part of his wish was granted, that he wanted Bilam to curse the Jewish people and we should all die. He was rewarded in a positive way, that one of his descendants was David HaMelech, who composed the Tehillim. The Gemara says, V'ha'am, Frey Gemara, Eini, that's not the reward that he got for the 42 Kabbalahs. V'ha'am, Rav Yudah Marav, he has a different tradition. Lishma means that you're very religiously motivated. Shalom Lishma means, I come to shul, I daven in the front, that everybody should see me daven, put up my talis and tefillin, I'm showing off in front of everybody. I know it's a mitzvah, I'm doing the mitzvah, but I'm doing the mitzvah, shalom Lishma. What motivated me to do the mitzvah? So the Gemara says, more correct, more proper is to do mitzvahs l'shem shamayim. Not to do mitzvahs to put on an act in front of everybody, they should see what a holy tzaddik I am. But he says we should still encourage everyone, they should do Torah mitzvahs, even shalol l'shma, because mitoch shalol l'shma, bo l'shma. Ultimately, it lead up to doing the mitzvah l'shma. Where do you see that someone did a mitzvah shalol l'shma, and he was rewarded in a positive way? Shebischar aboy mishlaim karbon shikri bolok melech mayav. He was motivated by a very impure motivation. He wanted Bilam to get permission from the Rabban Shalom to curse the Jewish people. That's not proper at all. But nonetheless, he was rewarded for the 42 karbonos. Zocha, he was rewarded. V'yotza sarimenu rus, shiyotza mimenu shloimoy. Shenemen be'elef oilus yalu shlomo. He was rewarded that, how does it say on the side? He was rewarded that David HaMelech came out, that David HaMelech composed the Tehillim, and Shlomo HaMelech brought so many karbonos. He was rewarded in a positive way. What has it got to do with what is Rus? Yeah, the 42 kabbalas that he brought were very much Shalom Lishma. But what has it got to do with Balak Melech Mayav? Who says that the Rus HaMoavia was a descendant? Balak Melech Mayav was from Mayav. Verzok that Rus HaMoavia was a descendant of his because she was from the same nation. She was a Moavia. So the Gemara says no. Rus HaMoavia was a descendant. The Omer Rabbi Yosef Abchoni. She was a descendant. Rus was Bitoshal Eglon, who was Benosha Balakoy. So she was a descendant. She was a descendant. So the Gemara Frek Takashi, what do you... I don't know. So how is she called Rus Amavia? I don't know. It's a Shtimtnisht. It's Gemara Shtimtnisht. If he wasn't a Mayavi, yeah, that's a problem. So the Gemara says, you just told us now he was rewarded in two different ways. He was rewarded in a positive way. He was zoichet to an einikolat tzaddik, Dovin HaMelech, and Shlaim HaMelech, who brought a lot of karbonos and he composed tilim. That's a wonderful reward he was given because he did a mitzvah very much, Shalom Lishma. Then he was also rewarded that because part of his wish was granted. He wanted to kill the Jewish people. He wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. So because he brought 42 karbonos, so we lost 42 lives. So it's two different kinds of rewards. And for the Gemara, he was rewarded because he brought karbonos, so he got a beautiful reward that he had descendants who were tzaddikim, David Shloima. But also, the whole purpose of bringing the karbonos was because he wanted to wipe out the Jewish people, so part of his request was granted. The Gemara has, if you daven to the Rabban Shalom, so you stand a good chance of your prayers being answered. If you daven and bring karbonos in conjunction with the prayers, so you stand a better chance of having your prayers answered. The Gemara says that Chani Hamago lived in the times of the second Beis Hamikdash. When they needed rain, so the Gemara says in Tanis, he walked into the Beis Hamikdash, he brought a korban, and he walked outside, and he was davening. What do you bring the korban for? The korban enhances your request. You daven to the Baruch Shalom. So when you bring a korban, it enhances it. So here also, he really wanted to wipe out the Jewish people. So he brought 42 korbanos to enhance his prayers, and then the Baruch Shalom, since his desire was to kill the Jewish people, so it's partially granted. 42 Jews lost their lives.
Partial is called Balak also.
What?
Why is it partial? Balak, in other words.
Yeah. He's a Russia. Why do we call it Balak? Good question.
He's less of a Russia than Bilam.
Why was Abram's brother Horan killed? Both sides of the fence, but...
What's so bad? I don't know. Very good kash. I don't know. The Sochet Shabbat Rebbe has a safe on Hilchas Shabbos that's called Eglei Tal. He has the Abnineza, the Chuvas, Eglei Tal. So in the Hakdama to the Eglei Tal, makes a big fuss that the Rambam only quotes this Gemara. Liyala miyasa gana matara v'shaladashma v'tel shaladashma bolashma. Rama only quotes it in the Hilchas Talmud Torah. He doesn't have the gears of Torah ube mitzvahs. It's against our Gemara. Our Gemara is beferish. Balak Melech Ma brought 42 karbonas shaladashma, and nonetheless, he didn't learn Torah shaladashma. He brought 42 karbonas shaladashma. Mitoch shaladashma, he was rewarded that he had descendants, David and Shlomo, who were Anoshim Tzadik. So Agamar is beferish that it goes on Kiyama Mitzvahs as well. But he points out, the Rambam writes beferish, Liyolam Yasakana Matoira Afilu Shalolishma, because Ein Tchinas Dina Shalod, the Melal Dibrei Torah. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin in the first parak, when you come to the Olam HaEmes, and they're going to judge you, so the first question they're going to ask you is whether you learned Torah properly. Did you spend enough time learning Torah? So the Rambam puts these two together. Liyolam Yasakana Matoira Afilu Shalolishma. Why? Because Ein Tchilas Dino Shalom, the Melah Dibrei Torah. So the Rambam Beferish had the gear, so it's only on Torah. Hagemara is Farker. Hagemara says even by mitzvahs, other mitzvahs. The Gemara in Erechin is also Beferish, even on other mitzvahs, not only on Torah. Okay, Blinetter, next week we'll have to continue in the Gemara. This week's Haftarah is from Zechariah. Ner is the Zechariah. That Zechariah HaNavi was one of the three Nevi'im. The Rabban Shlom was angry at the Bnei Yisrael after the 7 years of Golas Bavel. They had permission to return back to Eretz Yisrael, and everybody stayed in Bavel. Hardly anybody went back. So the Gemara says the Rabban Shlom punished the Jewish people. He said he's not going to send any more Nevi'im until Eliyahu HaNavi comes the day before Mashiach. He's not going to send any more Nevi'im. But he had no Breira, because the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted we should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and the Din says you're not allowed to build the Beis HaMikdash without authorization from a Navi, so you had no Breira. The Ribbono Shel Olam had to send Chagas Chaim Malachi. Gimel Nevi'im Olim Moim Mibavel, Chagas Chaim Malachi, and they gave instructions about the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So the Navi Zechariah has this Mara HaNevuah, where he sees a beautiful golden menorah, and he sees two olive trees, and the olives are falling down by themselves, and they fall into a contraption that presses out, squeezes out the olive oil, and there's a big pool of oil, and from the pool of oil there are 49 streams flowing into the seven cups on top of the menorah, seven streams of oil flowing into each one of the seven cups, and that adds up to the 49 streams of oil. So the Navi asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole story doesn't appear here in this Haftarah, it's in the next, here the beginning is over here, and it's continuing in the next chapter in the Navi. Shnaim Zeisim Aleha, Echad Mimin Agula V'Echad Al Smola. There was one olive tree to the right of the big pool of oil, and one olive tree to the left of the pool of oil. And he says, Mo'ela. And in his dream, the Navi Zechariah asked the Malach HaDoivabo, the Malach who's giving him this Mara HaNevuah, what is it supposed to represent? So the next capital, the next chapter in Zechariah, the Navi tells him that this represents Shnei B'nei HaYitzar, Homni Mal Hashem. This represents the two people who have Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha. Who are the two? There's the Kohen Gadol and the Beis HaMikdash has Mashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, and the Malach is Beis David. So the Navi says, I don't understand. What is it supposed to represent? The Bai Sheni, there was no Shemin HaMishcha. The Psukim say in Divrei Yomim that Yoshio HaMelech, towards the end of the period of the first Beis HaMikdash, was gone as the Orem with the Luchas in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash in a special chamber. When Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash in the very beginning, he built a special chamber in the basement that when the time comes, they should put the Orem with the Luchas there. So the time comes didn't only mean when it's time for the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash to prevent the enemy from walking off with the Orem with the Luchas, the time came before. And the Pasuk Divrei Yom gives us an obscure explanation. It's very unclear why Yoshua HaMelech was gone as the Luchas at that time. There wasn't a Sakana yet. It was far from the Sakana. So that's another problem. So the Psukim say at that time when he was gone as the Orem with the Luchas, he was also gone as the Shemin HaMishcha. And the whole Bai Sheni, there was no Shemin HaMishcha. So the Kohanim Gedolim became Kohanim Gedolim through... Meruba begadim. They put on the shmona begadim. The Gemara says either meshuch b'shemen amishcha or meruba begadim. So they didn't have any meshuch b'shemen amishcha and b'yishen. Then the only kings who get, there were kings from the time of the Hashmonaim on. The first couple hundred years, there were no Jewish king. There was no Jewish government. It was ruled by the Persian kings, by the Babylonian kings, by the Persian kings. But the last 200 years, they had the Hashmonaim, there were kings.
But they didn't need Shem and Amishra. The king could have used different oil.
They can't use Shem and Amishra. They're not allowed to.
Farsman.
Yeah, Shem and Afarsman. You're only allowed to use Shem and Amishra if you're from the Malchus Beis David. They were Kohanim. They were not from the Malchus Beis David. Malchus Beis David is Shevet Yehuda. But that's what the Malach asked. What is it supposed to represent? So the Malach tells him, Halo Yadaita, you know, and he says, I don't know. Lo Yadaita, Lo Adoni, I don't know what it's supposed to represent. So it's very obscure what's going on here. So the Malach answers, Lebechav, Lebechav, Kim Beruchi, Amar Hashem Tzvokas. What does it mean? So Rab Soloveitchik said over Pshat in the name of his grandfather, Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. It's printed in quite a few Svarim, that the Mara HaNevuah that the Navi saw was a Mara HaNevuah for the third Beis HaMikdash. And the third Beis HaMikdash, there will be a melech from the Malchus Beis David who will have Mashiach b'Shem and Amishcha, and there will be a Kohen Gadol who will have Mashiach b'Shem and Amishcha. But what does it have to do now? But we're holding by building the second Beis Hamikdash. What is he giving him a marab, the third Beis Hamikdash? And that's what he tells them. They knew in advance the second Beis Hamikdash was going to be chav. That they were told by Shlomo HaMelech. The Gemara in Yuma, the first pair quotes the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. That when the Jews will come back after the end of the 7 years of Golas Bavel, im yalu kachoma, if everybody will come en masse, everybody will return, then nivna le'atiras kesed. Then the second Beis Hamikdash will be like made from metal, just like metal, ein harekim sholidba, doesn't rot away, so too the second Beis Hamikdash will not rot away, and it won't be destroyed. But hardly anybody showed up. So the next half of the pasuk became fulfilled. In Delasi, if the Shvach Aliyah will come, Notzu Allah Luachoris. So the second Beis Hamikdash will be like a wooden hut, Luachoris, from Atzi Arozim. So wood is a Rekav Shalab, but it's going to rot away. So the second Beis Hamikdash will be destroyed. So he knew at the time they were building the second Beis Hamikdash, Chagas Chaim Alachi with the three Nevi'im, they already knew from the days of Nevuah Shlomo HaMelech that the second Beis Hamikdash is Asid Lechorim. So what is they say? That's what he keeps on asking. The Malach HaDoivabo, what is showing me a vision of the third Beis Hamikdash? But that doesn't correspond to this. This second Beis Hamikdash is going to be Chared. Then we're going to have to rebuild. There's going to be a third Beis Hamikdash. And what are you showing me? A Mara Nevuah that has no Shachas now. So he tells him, Loi b'chav, loi b'chav, kim beruchi, that Kedusha is Eretz Yisrael, the Kedusha B'shoina of Eretz Yisrael was Batla at the time of Churban Bayis Rishon. Why? So the Rambam says because the Kedusha was based on the fact that there was Kibush, because it was conquered by the Jewish army. So once the Kibush is undone, once the Babylonian armies conquer the whole country, so the Kibush of the Jewish people was undone, so the whole Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael was undone. But the Rambam says the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash was loy b'chay v'lo b'chach, it wasn't a Kibush, kim beruchi, it was through Hashroas Hashchina. So the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be a Hemshech of the second Beis HaMikdash. So when I'm showing you the vision of the third Beis HaMikdash, the Shnei B'nei HaYitzra, the two olive oil people, are the Melech and the Malchus Beis David, Melech HaMashiach. He's showing in the Melech HaMashiach is going to be by the third Beis HaMikdash. And the Kohanim Gedolim HaMashiach B'Shem and HaMishcha, that's all a Mara HaNevuah for the third Beis HaMikdash. You should know that what you're doing now is going to lead to that. True, there's going to be a Churban Bayis Sheni, it's going to have to be rebuilt, but the third Beis HaMikdash is going to be Hemshech of the second. So that's how Rav Chaim Soloveitchik interpreted this pasuk. The Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is not like Kedusha Sa'oritz, it's based on Chayil V'Koyach, that if the Kibush will be undone, the Kedusha will be undone. No, Kim Beruchi, the Ashuas Hashchina gives the Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash, so that's why the third Beis HaMikdash will be a Hemshech of the second. We're waiting to see the Hemshech or anything.